Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 K-Frog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. First Amendment Days is a week-long celebration of our First Amendment rights. Religion, speech, press, assembly, and petition, celebrated this year, April 15th through the 19th. On the line to discuss the rights protected by the First Amendment is constitutional attorney Nadine Strawson, author of Free Speech, What Everyone Needs to Know, and host of the public television documentary Free to Speak. Thank you for joining me.
I'm so delighted to be here.
Nadine, what was going through the heads of our founding fathers when they wrote this all-important First Amendment?
I can't say what was in the minds of the founding fathers, obviously, but what they wrote was an unqualified support for freedom of speech in the First Amendment, which says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. And the Supreme Court has interpreted that very robustly, consistent with the very open textured language that government may never suppress speech, no matter how disliked or generally feared the idea of the speech may be. It is only when the speech, considered in its overall context, directly causes or imminently threatens certain specific harm, such as intentional incitement of imminent violence, that the speech can be restricted.
Freedom of speech has drawn a lot of flack over the years. Why do you think that is?
Freedom of speech always draws flack because it only comes into the public eye when it is applied to protect a controversial message, right? Every single day, every single minute, every single second, all over this country, all of us are constantly exercising free speech. But if we say things that are not particularly controversial or inflammatory, the speech is protected and that's uneventful. But if the same freedom of speech is brought to bear in support of a speaker or a message that is unpopular at the particular time and in the particular place where it is uttered, that is when people start to object to the very same principle. So a common saying among those of us who talk about free speech a lot is that most people believe in freedom of speech for me, or people who agree with me, but not for thee, or people who disagree with me. What has to become clear to the general public, and one of the reasons I wrote my recent book about free speech, is to help people understand what you could think of as the golden rule of free speech, that if you want to have freedom for the speech that you love, then you have to defend freedom for the speech that you loathe.
How challenging was it to break down all of the critical issues for your latest book?
My book has the rather ambitious title, Free Speech, What Everyone Needs to Know. And it really does set out to answer the most challenging and important questions about free speech based on my extensive experience. I have literally been answering thousands of questions for the past half dozen or so years as I've been speaking hundreds of times each year all over the country and beyond, because these issues are of worldwide concern. And even though there is a very complex body of law, it really, the more you think about it, the more it accords with common sense principles, empowering the government to outlaw speech that does oppose what's often called an emergency by directly causing or imminently threatening harm, but also disempowering government from restricting speech solely because it is unpopular or controversial.
How tough a balancing act is it when hate speech claims protection by the First Amendment?
I hate speech that conveys hateful ideas as much as anybody. Certainly with my own family history, that becomes especially poignant as my beloved father was a Holocaust survivor. And therefore, I am acutely aware of the horrors of anti-Semitic and other discriminatory hate speech. I am absolutely convinced, based on the historical records, in starting in Germany itself in the early 20th century, continuing through the civil rights movement in this country, down to the present day, that if we truly want to try to eradicate or at least reduce hateful attitudes and ideas, that censorship is at best an ineffective technique and at worst a counterproductive technique. The concept of hate speech, indeed the concept of hate, which is an emotion, is so inherently subjective that it simply licenses whoever the enforcing authorities are to punish whatever idea they consider to be hateful. And make no mistake about it, what one person considers to be the antithesis of hate speech will be somebody else's punishable hate speech. So we see a pattern around the world and throughout history that disproportionately censored under all hate speech laws is speech by and on behalf of the very minority groups who are hoped to be protected by the anti-hate speech laws. That's why these laws are opposed by human rights activists all over the world. As I explain in a book I wrote in 2018 called Hate, Why We Should Resist It with Free Speech, Not Censorship. And even in this country, to cite a very recent example, the Black Lives Matter movement. Many people consider that to be advocacy of racial justice, a loving attitude, a preaching values of inclusivity and dignity and equality for everybody. And yet powerful public officials and others have criticized Black Lives Matter advocacy as supposedly hate speech against white people or hate speech against police officers. So the best answer to a hateful message or message we personally consider hateful is to ignore it, if we think that's the most effective strategy, or to refute it and repudiate it, if we think that's the most effective strategy.
There's obviously a political polarization today. How does free speech fit into that environment?
There is political polarization, and freedom of speech is both a casualty of that polarization and correspondingly the only promising path forward toward reducing the polarization. So because of polarized attitudes, which seem, according to available data, people tend to have more hostility toward people whose ideas they disagree with than in the past, that rather than just thinking that those people we disagree with are wrong, there tends to be a pattern of viewing them as evil or dangerous and people who should therefore be shunned and ostracized and not interacted with at all, which of course leads to even more polarization. So it's a vicious cycle. And the only way we can overcome that vicious cycle with a virtuous one is to exercise our free speech rights and to exercise our commitments to our pluralistic society by reaching across differences of views to actually talk to people with whom we have even important disagreements. In my extensive experience in doing this, because I've debated and discussed with people I strongly disagree with on a whole range of civil liberties issues throughout my career, I can say unqualifiedly that even if we strongly disagree on some issues that are very important to both of us, we will strongly agree on other issues that are very important to both of us. And even on the issues where we disagree, the vast, vast, vast majority of times, we will disagree on the means for solving the problem that we're talking about. But at least if you dig deep enough, you will find that people will agree on what the underlying values are. You know, to take something that's extremely controversial, abortion, for all of the strong disagreements about whether it should be legal and what restrictions there should be on it and so forth, I think that all across the spectrum, people have a reverence for life and a respect for life. Now, they may disagree about at what point life deserves to be protected, at what point the life of the pregnant woman, including the quality of her life and the lives of other children, become a relevant factor. But I would hope that even on that most controversial and most polarizing of issues, that we would strive to find some approaches that would unite all of us. For example, reducing the number of unintended, unplanned pregnancies. That seems to me to be consistent with a so-called free choice perspective and also with a so-called a pro-life perspective.
I'm speaking with constitutional attorney Nadine Strossen, author of Free Speech, What Everyone Needs to Know, and host of the public television documentary Free to Speak. Misinformation has become a huge topic lately. How has social media impacted the parameters of free speech?
Social media have not really changed the parameters of the free speech debates so much as provided a current context for debates that have been taking place throughout history and around the world. Every time a new communications medium makes it easier and cheaper to disseminate information to a larger audience, it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's a really positive because it enables more people to obtain information and provide information and communicate with other people and with government officials and other important individuals. At the same time, it becomes an opportunity for people to exploit free speech for negative purposes, including even committing criminal acts. It is only a tool, a mechanism, and I think that there's something in the human psyche and in the news media, both traditional media and new media, that tends to overemphasize the negative. In traditional media, there has long been an old adage, if it bleeds, it leads, so that crimes and accidents are disproportionately emphasized. And I think the same thing has become true of social media, that people tend to look at the information that people purvey on it that they disagree with or that they find dangerous, and tend to take for granted the huge, unprecedented amount of positive information and positive opportunities that social media have provided for individuals and for governments and for causes of every single sort all across the ideological spectrum.
You offer your lectures to our next generation of lawyers, today's law students. How do they relate to the First Amendment and its issues?
Unfortunately, a growing number of law schools are not requiring students to study the First Amendment. It is increasingly being excluded from the required first constitutional law course and being offered as an elective. So sadly, we have more and more lawyers who are graduating from law school and entering the practice of law who are woefully ignorant about First Amendment principles. And I think that these are principles that should be known and cherished by everybody, starting at the youngest ages. Indeed, there have been many important Supreme Court cases that have ended up providing important free speech protections for every single person in this country, that were cases that were brought by or on behalf of children, of school students. And unlike certain other provisions in the Constitution that do have age limits, I think most famously, you have to be a certain age to run for various federal offices, such as President of the United States, there is no age limit on exercising your free speech rights. And the Supreme Court has said that this is a right that does not magically spring into being only when somebody attains the state-defined age of majority. Likewise, free speech should not belong only to a particular profession, the legal profession. Lawyers, I think, have a special responsibility because they have the capability of legally defending freedom of speech. But as a practical matter, no matter how strong free speech law is in principle, we are never going to actually meaningfully enjoy and exercise free speech unless it is understood and supported and exercised in our culture more generally. And this is a really important point that's been made by very wise people repeatedly. One of my favorite statements comes from a famous judge named Learned Hand during World War II. He gave a famous speech called The Spirit of Liberty. And he was talking about liberty more generally, but what he said certainly applies to the liberty or freedom of speech in particular. He said, when it lives in the hearts and minds of men and women, it needs no law, no constitution, no government to support it. But if it does not live in the hearts and minds of men and women, no law, no constitution, no court can save it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What do you hope will be the biggest takeaway for audiences when they watch this documentary or read your latest book?
Well, thank you so much for mentioning the documentary, Free to Speak, which is freely available via the Free to Choose Network website and also on YouTube if you search for Free to Speak, and also mentioning my book, Free Speech, What Everyone Needs to Know. The most important takeaways from both is the universal nature, the indivisible nature of free speech, that it is essential no matter who we are, no matter what we believe, no matter what our interests are. We depend on free speech to fully experience and explore our own individual identities and capabilities, also to meaningfully participate in communications and relationships with other people, also to participate in whatever causes or organizations are important to us. And given that just incredible importance to each one of us as an individual, we have a stake in defending freedom of speech for every other individual, because if theirs is not secure, ours will not be secure.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today and for all that you do to protect the First Amendment.
Thank you so much for that excellent interview, and I hope your audiences enjoyed it as well as the book and the documentary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.